some serious electrical work.
Can you do it?
Oh, sure. I might be dying, and my memory's got more holes than the Jets' defense, but I can still do me some wiring. But it'll take some time here, Ryan. A couple of days' heavy work, the way it looks to me.
We'll take a look around first, then make a decision on what you do and when. First thing's to get us some food and drink.
JB gestured to the wired-up explosives.
Leave this, then?
Yeah. Plastic's that old, might blow if you even look at it wrong.
Do you suppose trying to use the gateway again triggers the booby traps? Then I fear that we would find ourselves in the deepest ordure.
We are gonna go sometime, Doc. Let's cross that overpass when we come to it.
Christy was standing still, staring vacantly into space across the control room, and shaking her head.
Something bad here. It doesn't feel like any redoubt I've ever been in.
Danger?
Not immediate, but can't find the handle for it.
No point sticking around, then. We'll worry about that broken lock when we're ready to leave, Rick. At least the main doors don't look like they've been tampered with.
The hugely strong sec doors were painted a very light shade of green. The control lever was a darker green, and it was in the open position.
Think it's mine, too?
No doubt about it.
Look!
A thin, pale blue length of wire ran into the crack in the wall, behind the massive security steel hinges. JB traced it with a cautious finger, watchful for any mercury tremblers or prox fuses. But it was a very straightforward piece of Plasex plus detonator. The actual explosive was concealed on a ridge above the top of the doors.
Nobody's been in here since Skydark.
Could be recent.
Nah, not stuff wired this way. It's crude, and it's also old. Besides, it would have blown if anyone had tried to enter.
Cut it?
Yeah.
JB dragged over a wooden chair and stood on it, drawing his techno knife and easing the needle point behind the wire.
Everyone take cover.
Ryan crouched behind one of the consoles in the corner of the strangely cramped room. Christy knelt beside him, with Jack, Doc, and Rick farther along near the wall.
What if it blows?
Keep tight and small on the floor. Hands over your ears, eyes shut, and keep your mouth open. That way you keep the blast damage to a minimum.
Oh, wonderful. Thanks, Ryan. Thanks a lot.
Stick head between knees and kiss ass goodbye.
Everyone ready? Here we go!
Despite having followed his own instructions, Ryan felt the pressure against his eardrums, the Plasex blowing and filling the room with noise and fine white dust.
Fire blast! JB! You all right there?
Jack moved first, darting toward the entrance doors, ducking under the blinding cloud.
He's here! Out cold! Blood on him!
Ryan was the second one there, stooping alongside the white-haired boy. Seeing the slight figure of John Barrymore Dix, lying like a child's discarded doll, one arm crooked, legs doubled under him. His glasses were hanging on one ear, and his beloved fedora had vanished. Blood oozed from JB's ears, nostrils, and open mouth. The Techna was still gripped firmly in his right hand. Jack felt for the pulse beneath JB's right ear.
Breathing. Strong beat.
Roll him onto his side so that he doesn't risk choking.
Shoulders out. Better put back now, be big problem. Seen it fall.
JB's eyes flickered open and rolled in their sockets.
Kid's right. Put it back now, Ryan. Do it for me.
His eyes closed again, and his body tensed, anticipating the pain to come.
It could be he snapped a rib or two. You try anything and you could hurt him real bad.
Already hurting real bad, Freezy.
JB kept his eyes shut while speaking.
Listen, Ryan, before you do it, there was a second charge. Never seen it. Cut the wire and it blew. Must have lost most of its power. Should have taken me off at the shoulders. Okay? Now do it.
Riding with a traitor, Ryan Carter had seen most every kind of wound or sickness or injury known to man or to woman. Traveling over rough terrain, often on broken down highways corrugated by the ripple effect of nukings, meant some bumpy journeys. A sudden turn or lurch could cause sprained wrists, broken ankles, and often dislocated shoulders. The cure for that was fairly simple. Painful, but simple. While Doc and Christy each held a leg still, Jack took the armorer's other arm and locked it tight in his hands. Ryan sat on the floor, putting his right foot into JB's armpit, gripping the wrist of the damaged arm in both hands. He wriggled around to get comfortable and make sure he had enough purchase to do what had to be done. If it was left more than a few minutes, the repair of the dislocation was going to be a major operation and could leave JB with a permanent weakness.
You ready?
Do it, Ryan!
Ryan braced himself and tugged hard on the wrist, feeling the damaged joint snap back into place. Ryan let go and stood up.
How's that?
Fainted. Shouldn't call me kid. Told him.
Fortunately, apart from some pain and stiffness in his shoulder, the armorer wasn't too badly damaged once he regained consciousness. His ears were ringing and his head ached. The blood from his mouth was the result of biting through the tip of his tongue as the explosion hurled him off the chair. He was bruised around the kidneys, down the outside of the right thigh.
Good news is that my hat's fine. Glasses aren't broke. Pants aren't torn. Never got much good at mending. And all the weapons are fine.
And the doors are open.
They were open before JB got to playing with them.
The armorer gave Ryan the finger. In all of the other redoubts they'd entered, the ponderous double-sec doors had always opened onto an expanse of wide, brightly lit corridor that was part of the main military complex. But not this time. Ryan cautiously pushed the left-hand door, careful to make sure that the previous tenants hadn't left yet another Plas-X calling card to greet them.
What is it? What's the matter?
This goddamn triple red tooth of mine gave me a crack all of a sudden. Gotta get it pulled sometime soon. Hole feels bigger than a 300-pound gaudy horse.
Ryan?
Well, hole feels big, and that's the truth, lover. It's bad.
Never mind your black dust tooth, Ryan. What's out there?
Ryan looked around the edge of the door, turning back to face the others.
Not a lot.
The walls were made of dirt, not concrete. Dusty brown earth, packed tight, supported by thick wooden beams. Up in what once had been Pennsylvania, Ryan had come across an abandoned coal mine. It had been used as an emergency nuke shelter, but the bombing had caved in the entrance. A century of wind, rain, and shifting land had opened it up. Ryan had never seen so many desiccated corpses, piled and tangled one upon another. The corridors had been supported in the same way as the room outside the gateway control. There was no illumination at all, but Ryan spotted a neat plastic box switch by the doors. He clicked it down, and a few bulbs flickered into hesitant life. The room was barely 8 feet across, with a ceiling that couldn't have been more than 7 cramped feet in height. Some sort of barred gate was set in the far wall.
Looks like the first redoubt ever built.
No, it can't be. I know this looks like someone's backyard, but the Mattrans technology is like I said, it's state-of-the-art. Miniaturized circuits, the works. So this stuff outside just doesn't make any sense.
The air tasted cool and damp, like the cellar of a long-abandoned house. A smell of kerosene and old bicycles, of empty bottles and piles of rotting newspaper tied up with twine.
You still got that bad feeling, lover?
Christy shook her head. Her long red hair was still curled tightly around her nape. The effort of forcing the door had taken a toll, and she could barely stand unsupported.
Don't know, lover. Truth is, I don't feel anything but bushed out. Sorry.
All right. Let's go find a way out of this tomb.
Ryan led the way, blaster probing the air in front of him like the tongue of a cobra. The barrier in the far wall was high-quality vanadium steel, made from bars as thick as a man's index finger, with a space between them of less than a half inch. The crossbars were set 3 inches apart. It was an impressive security device, its quad lock and bolts set in a steel insert drilled right through into concrete. There was no gap in the door, either at the top or bottom. Cautiously, Ryan reached out and pushed it, and the barred door swung silently open.
Unlocked.
It wouldn't have